What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 115, External Bracing, recorded October 22nd, 2014. Our guests this week are Chris Dean, owner and inventor of the Ankle Roll Guard. So we're going to be talking with him specifically about his product and then some of our coaches' reactions. And then we also have Maurice Hawkins, the owner of Gazelle Healthcare Solutions. He's a distributor for Bledsoe Brace, CoreFlex, CNF, Casting, New Options, and MedSpec. He's also a certified orthopedic technologist. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I assume he'll enlighten us some. And so we're going to just see our reactions to the ankle roll guard and then some other bracings and things like that. So I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and with me today,
Jose.
And Mark Knobloch from the University of Houston.
Nicole Casher from the University of Houston.
Maurice Hawkins, Gazelle Healthcare Solutions.
Olivia, Jeff.
And Jess. All right, so if you want to join our conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Links to those are on our website. Without much further ado, we're going to go ahead and get to Jose's got the first question.
Mr. Dean, please tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. First off, thanks for the invite. I'm really glad to be here and excited about this. My name is Chris Dean. I'm the owner and inventor of the Ankle Roll Guard. It's a patented product that prevents ankle inversions with a new cushioning technology that basically stops an ankle from rolling.
Mr. Hawkins, please tell us who you are and what you do.
Orthopedic outsourcing company. We also provide casting and brace training to orthopedic surgeons' offices. We also distribute products for direct sale to orthopedic surgeons' offices as well as O&P facilities. And an orthopedic tech is a person in a physician's clinic who actually applies casts, splints, and braces.
Mr. Dean, can you please tell us about your product?
Sure, I'd love to. We just released our latest design called the Armor One Ankle Roll Guard. Really excited about it. It's basically been improved over the last year from a lot of customer feedback, physical therapy feedback, podiatrist feedback. It's got a sleek design. It's got made out of EVA material. We made it left and right capable, so it's a better fit. Better protection from rolls, and basically just a sleeker, nicer design, but also functional and works well against ankle inversions that I mentioned.
So Mr. Hawkins is holding the ankle roll guard that you sent me, and you know later we'll get to my coach's reaction, but...
Where did the idea come from?
Well, it was about 8 years ago. I'm an avid basketball player and love watching the NBA on TV. And about 8 years ago, was watching an NBA game, saw an NBA player roll his ankle and started thinking there's got to be a better way to stop that ankle from inverting and cushioning it from the ground. So I started tinkering with some ideas, playing around with some prototypes, and just evolved the idea, got a patent in December 2010. And then from there on, we've been developing what you see now is the latest product that we're going to release or have released to the masses, and we're going to start selling it soon here. So basically the idea came from I just have a lot of ankle sprains in the past, a lot of basketball played in my life. I'm 45 now, but I didn't really like wearing ankle braces either. I felt the constriction and didn't feel, you know, uncomfortable all the time. So this idea, kind of the best of both worlds, prevents the inversion, but also the comfort without the restriction of a brace.
So how many test runs and trials have you had with the ankle brace so far?
Well, we've done, aside from a lot of customer feedback, a lot of customer usage and physical therapy and podiatrist usage, we actually did a test at Idaho State University on a Vicon motion analysis system. It was really cool. They hooked me up and we did some inversions and actual jumping and inversion testing and got some video of that and really proved that compared to nothing, as that ankle starts to invert, the ankle roll guard kicks in, hits the ground, stops that severe inversion from happening. So we also did a range of motion testing as well, compared it to no brace, taping, two ankle braces, and the ankle roll guard. Great feedback from a lot of the testers. We had 12 of them that, you know, it prevented the sprain, prevented the inversion, and also allowed that range of motion capability. So,
and you mentioned that you compared it to taping. And one of my, I don't know if it's a pet peeve or one of my issues with the taping studies is taping an ankle for a study is a lot different than taping an ankle for practice. And so, in studies, it takes them 15 minutes to put the tape on because they need to put it exactly right and everything else. And I've never been a big fan of taping, not to mention the manpower and the amount of time it takes away from you. And so, it's interesting because I just have a hard time with any studies that show taping is more effective than bracing. And what was your comparison with taping that you found?
Well, when we compared it to taping, this was a range of motion study. So obviously, compared to taping, bracing, the ankle roll guard was stellar, right? Because there is no restriction on that ankle. So it was all range of motion testing. We want to eventually do a motion analysis study with a brace and tape and the ankle roll guard all in one. So I'm still in the process of coordinating that with Idaho State.
So another question I have is the ankle is a highly mobile joint. It has to be. So how do you draw the line between allowing motional freedom but yet preventing inversion for an injury? How do you, obviously you can't prevent any motion because the athlete just couldn't run. So in your development, how did you kind of work that problem out of to allow freedom, to allow them to compete, but yet still prevent, an inversion injury?
Well, I think, the human body was created to not have the restriction on it. So that was kind of my core concept, that leave that range of motion, leave that ankle, being able to do its thing while you're playing, but have that cushion on the outside of the shoe. So when you do encounter an inversion or you step on someone's shoe, common basketball, volleyball injuries, jumping and coming down, then that ankle roll guard invokes and stops that complete inversion to the ground. So I'm a total proponent of not restricting that ankle at all. Let it do its natural thing. And even kind of invert a little bit and let that energy transfer into the ankle roll guard and cushion it almost like a shock absorber, stopping it from a complete inversion.
So you have a shock absorber essentially, like a component in the ankle brace?
Well, I wouldn't call it a shock. I kind of use that analogy, but it's a EVA material. So, Maurice has got it there, but it's a fairly stiff, but has some flexibility to it. So when it does invert, it has a little bit of give, exactly. And that energy can transfer through that cushion.
I have a question real quick on the model that I do have in my hand.
Maurice, can you scoot up towards the mic?
I have a question. In the model that I have in my hand, the roll foam that's on the outside of it actually is moving up and down. Is that supposed to be static against the side of the brace, or should it be able to go up and down?
Well, the cushion, the design is built so it velcros on, so it's adjustable and customizable to different sizes of shoe. That cushion should remain intact onto the actual base unit at all times, and should be, as put on the shoe, should stay firmly in place.
Okay. And have you had any slipping issues with the strapping at the bottom of the shoe, the part that goes on the bottom of the shoe? It's actually, it feels plastic or quite slippery if you were playing basketball on a hardwood floor and there was any dust or anything like that or any sweat. It does seem slippery.
Good question. What we used and designed, it's called tarpaulin. It's a super thin, super tough material. So it's so thin that we've had no complaints or anyone of slipping. So it goes across the bottom of the sole. A lot of shoes have kind of a concave there, so it fits in there and doesn't even touch the floor in some shoes. The shoes where it does touch, we've had no complaints of slippage.
Is this brace a one size fits all, or are they like small, larges?
One size fits all,
right?
For,
you just
for
adjust
the,
that brace
exactly. Exactly. You can okay. adjust the size, the cushion to be, smaller, larger shoes, and you can adjust it up or down too. Down to the floor is the ideal, state where it's closest to the floor. But it is one size fits all for the general masses, about, size 6 to up to about 16, 17. We've seen it fit on, so.
Okay, so is this geared towards collegiate, high level, high school?
Well, it can be used, I think, in any respect. So any, you know, I've had a European pro basketball player wear it. I've had a elderly woman wear it who had ankle surgery. So there's a wide range of our customers that have used it. Our focus most recently has been with physical therapy and podiatry, kind of rehabbing an ankle and that extra stability when they're, you know, they want the range of motion as they're rehabbing the ankle, but they want the stability in case it does invert. So.
Okay, so say someone has an ATFL sprain, can they wear this brace to help support that, or is it just kind of during game time support?
Absolutely, they can use it for that, and probably even more so in that respect. It's built to protect that ATFL, so it's you can use it during, you know, during a sporting event or in, like I said, rehab, and you've sprained it and you want that extra stability from, you know, hurting it again or straining it again. Absolutely.
Have you used this for any contact sports? Because I've heard you speak about basketball and volleyball and those things, but what about contact sports like, say, football or even soccer players?
We haven't had any football players as of yet. We have had lacrosse players. I guess you can consider that a kind of a contact sport, right? But no football players. I think it would work well in football, but we just haven't had anyone try it yet. Would love to do that. But it is, you know, ideally for the basketball and volleyball where we see a lot of inversion injuries, right? Not to say football doesn't either. I played football and sprained my ankle doing that as well, but I think it would work there as well.
Ladies, you want to ask a question?
I got a question. What makes it different than a normal ankle brace?
Well, I mean, you can visibly see it. It sits on the outside of the shoe. There's no restriction, no range of motion restriction. It's just a completely different concept from an ankle brace where, you know, it goes away from restriction to complete prevention and cushioning from an inversion on the outside of the shoe.
All right. So, one of the questions that I had is that it's going to prevent most of the ankle sprains, but it would appear to me that if I was to invert pretty far, that it's going to exaggerate and then, you know, more likely to dislocate or whatever my ankle. Can you speak about, you know, what if I roll past the edge of the foam and then continue to go past that?
Well, it's a good question. And I've tried that myself. I've been wearing a version of the ankle roll guard for 4 years now, and I've tried every possible sprain, and I've actually tried to force it over. It's extremely hard, and we haven't had any customers that have done that, to be honest, where you can actually force it over the top. And I think if you do force it over the top, you're going to fall down and go down completely all the way over anyway. You can, and if you've worn it yet, you can actually try to force your ankle to go past that cushion, and it's almost impossible, in my opinion.
I don't think I'm going to voluntarily try and break my ankle.
So have you had any feedback from athletic trainers that have tried it out or anything? Because, I mean, one of the things that's exciting is, from our aspect, is there's nothing worse in a game than when a kid that has taped, or he's injured his ankle, but you tape him up and maybe you spat him, and then he rolls his ankle. And you've got to get it off through the pain, get his shoe off, get the tape off, you know, and he or she is writhing in pain. And this is just something that goes over the outside of the shoe. Have you had any positive or negative feedback that would counter the use of this? I mean, it seems like a pretty kind of exciting product because it goes outside the shoe. What feedback have you had, or if any?
Specifically from athletic trainers?
Yeah.
Had some very positive feedback from athletic trainers. In fact, at Idaho State University, Dr. Moffitt, who runs their sports medicine, she's an athletic trainer. You know, I've got a quote from her. She, you know, the ankle roll guard is an option for athletes with chronic lateral ankle laxity. So, laxity, sorry, who don't like using the usual lace-up brace. So I've had very positive feedback from athletic trainers that it's an alternative to a brace. Not to say that some people like braces, some people like tape. You can actually use it with those two as complementary, if you want. But it is an alternative for, like you said, you don't want the restriction. You've got an injury in a game, but it's easy to put on and off. It's on the outside of the shoe, and it doesn't restrict that ankle.
All right. So, Maurice, tell me a little bit more about the orthopedic technologies. What was it again? Say it again.
Orthopedic technologists.
All right. So, explain to me what that is, real quick.
What that is we are in the physician's office, or sometimes in O&P offices, and we do the casting and the splinting, and the bracing for that facility. We're also drawing injections. We're kind of the right hand, we're not the PA, but we do as many things, or a lot of times more than the PA does in the facility. We can also go to surgery if need be. We can scrub in. You can be a certified orthopedic tech, surgical tech, where you can go scrub in with a doctor, and you can do the casting, splinting, passing out the instruments, hold, so on and so forth. I tell people this all the time. You can actually hurt someone more with a cast than you can with any brace you can think of. And some people have people in their office that are casting people that shouldn't be casting people. So,
Well, I was curious because Chris has a video where I think they're using biofeedback. They're using markers on like the shin and the ankle, and it shows the inversion and the eversion. I didn't know if the technologist played into that, and if y'all did the biofeedback.
Depending upon which office you're in, you do some of that.
Gotcha.
It depends upon what your doctor's into, how much rehab or whatever in the facility that you're in. You would do some of those things, but for the most part, no, we don't. We would normally do, say, a study on casting a person in a serial cast for an ulcer versus putting them in a fracture walker with removable pieces to relieve the ulcer, that kind of thing. We cast a guy, you cast a guy in certain range of motion to heal a ligament, that kind of thing. Serial casting, that's how we would play it with a brace. How does it work versus a brace versus a cast? Over this period of time, can you get better motion or less mobility from this or that? And what we found over the course of time, because the first, your ACL was torn, they put you in a cast for 6 months. And then we found that is definitely not the way to go now. Guy gets his ACL tear, next day he's in the CPM, or that night he's in the CPM moving his leg. So, those are different ways you use the technologist.
Gotcha.
And before you came along, it was what, a nurse casted everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
And so now
it's... Or the doctor casted everybody.
It's clear that there's a specialty.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just... I mean, I had a cast, I remember when I was probably 7 or 8, broke my arm. I mean, and that's... I remember a nurse getting casted by a nurse.
Right.
And I'm sure just the amount of specialty and the way that the field has changed, it's, we need somebody to fit them specifically because we're going to do range of motion.
Right.
We want to make sure they're able to do that, not just put them in a cast for 6 months, put the cast on one time and they're done. So it speaks to how the professions and the fields evolve as well.
Yeah. Well, because you could, like I said, you could truly hurt someone with a cast. Put the cast on someone, you put it on wrong, too tight, something like that. They can have permanent nerve damage. People can lose complete range of motion in the joint or end up having to have an amputation because of the cast if you put it on. And that's what they found over time. Us casting someone in, say, 5 degrees of ulnar deviation can change drastically the healing time as well as the range of motion. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal, but a lot of people say, okay, hey, you just got a cast, let's go get a cast. Well, it's not as simple as getting a cast. Because you can put a brace on anybody. I can give you a brace and you take it out of a box and put it on somebody. The brace will be on wrong or whatever. It won't hurt you that much. But if I put a cast on you wrong, I can truly hurt you with a cast.
All right. So again, we got a little sidetrack there. We're gonna go back towards that. A little bit more towards the bracing and the ankle roll guard. So,
what are some challenges you have faced in getting it out there?
early on, you know, the early prototypes, we had some customer feedback that it looked a little bulky, it looked funny, you know, perception issues. And this latest version now, like I said, we've had a lot of good feedback on the sleeker design, the newer look, the EVA material looks nicer. That's one of the big ones. Just perception of something so new. People ask a lot of questions. They don't know what it is. It's kind of like I equate it to the knee brace, you know, years ago. You never saw them, but now you see them all the time on football fields, right? It's just something new people have to get used to. I think once it gets out there and people start using it and seeing it more, acceptance will come. And that's kind of why we focused on physical therapists and podiatrists and athletic trainers that are kind of getting it out there and putting it on players and putting it on patients. And once that happens and more it builds and builds, it's going to get more acceptance.
So I have a kind of a question along that side, along that line, is everybody wants to be an entrepreneur and they have an idea for something. So you kind of present this opportunity since you initially even, you know, you had the initial concept. Can you just kind of briefly walk through the process of you have your idea. What are the next steps? How long does it take? What are the costs involved if you're willing to give it? I know you said you got a patent. That's not just filling out a form and sending it off. So what are, for any entrepreneurs out there that have these sports medicine ideas, what are the kind of the hurdles they run through in actually getting a product on the shelf versus, you know, just getting it designed or whatever? What are some problems you had or some, what weren't you expecting, I guess?
And then Maurice, I'm sure since you're the owner of a company, you can kind of chime in with plenty of insight there as Chris goes along. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a lot of challenges along the way. First one, as you mentioned, was the patent, right? It took years to get the patent and developing it and getting a patent agent, helping with the wording and making sure there wasn't existing, patents out there that conflicted with it. That took time and money, investment in that, and getting that patent. Took, I think, 4 years to finally get it in 2010. And then working with I worked with a professional designer to get it looking right. Someone in the field of sports medicine that's worked with braces and so forth to make sure I got the concept correct and it was functional and usable. And then the whole manufacturing process, just, coordinating with, our manufacturers in China. So, you know, just the time difference and language and so forth, it takes a lot of time and effort and investment of money as well to get that to the point where you can actually sell it like we're at now. And then the marketing as well, marketing your product and getting it out there, getting professionals to endorse it and expertise in the field like podiatrists and physical therapists to endorse it. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of time, and you got to believe in it, and you gotta want it, and know that it's going to help people. And that's what's kind of kept me going. I know it works. I know I believe in this product. I want to get it out there and help people.
And that professional endorsement you talked about, is that a matter of you just, is it as simple as giving them the product and hoping they like it? Is it you got to contact their agent first, and you know how does that? Well, because everybody obviously wants to have a pro agent or a pro sports figure endorse their product. But
yeah.
What are the steps in that?
Well, I was lucky with the pro basketball player, European pro basketball player. He was a Boise State alumni. So, you know, I live in near Boise State. So I was able to make contact with him. I actually made contact with him through a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that he helped coordinate. So met him and worked, and it was real simple because he's a nice guy and he worked through his agent and it was a real simple thing. And he believed in the product. He wore it right away. Loved the idea. Really loved that it didn't restrict him. He was a guard, so he didn't like the restriction of a brace. So he took to it right away. So I think that's important, having, someone who believes in it and will use the product, and then, someone that you've known or can easily work with in the local area, you know. If you happen to run across professionals in your local area, that helps a lot.
All right. So, what are your thoughts on that part, the business aspect?
Well, it's, you know, like you said, you know, getting the minds changed will be the hardest aspect of him selling his product. And now with the kids loving the colors, do you make it in any other color? That would be the next question. Do you make it in any other color than black? Because when you put that over top of a guy's basketball shoe, so to speak, they want to show the Jordans. They don't want to show this thing on top of it. So do you have any colors that you can add to this thing, or is it any other colors? You know,
we do. We can make it any color we want. It's just a matter of volume, right? So from the manufacturing side, they require a minimum quantity, but we can make the pad different colors. We can make the base unit different colors. We can even put across the front strap a logo, and I'm working with physical therapists and podiatrists to put their logo across the front. And maybe even, you know, team sports can put their logo across the front. That adds to that, you know, kind of cool look. And if we're covering up their Jordans, well, at least they've got a logo on it with their team logo or something on it to compensate for that. But, it is a concern a little bit about the color, but, we will get there eventually with different colors and input from customers.
And what is the price point on that when you're selling?
Retail or wholesale or?
Retail.
Retail, it's going to be $34.95.
Does it come in a pair or is it each?
That's each, so it's either a left or a right. Okay.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because I go back to that taping versus bracing. Case of tape is what, 55 now?
Something like that. Yep.
So you figure one basketball season, one athlete, one ankle is going to get more than a case of tape. So if it's effective, then it pays for itself in 2 months if you have to tape every day. So keep it below that, the case of tape price, and you'll be fine from an athletic training side.
Yeah. Budgets are very important.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure as someone who actually did a little bit of that in college, the people who are picking that tape up, I appreciate you not using it as well.
Yeah, after the game,
yeah,
the locker
for sure.
Room.
Yep.
So since we're talking about it lasting 2 or 3 months, what is the lifespan that you've seen out of this product so far, Chris?
I've had a customer use one pretty consistently, one to three times a week playing basketball, sometimes outdoors for a year. The wear comes on the strap underneath, so we'll. When we sell these new versions, the Armor One version, we're going to supply extra straps on the bottom, because especially if you play outside on the asphalt, while the material is extremely durable and not prone to wear, everything wears out, right? So that will be and that was customer feedback as well, supplying an extra strap or two. So as those wear out, they can just cinch it right up again with a new one.
All right, so Maurice, you talked about changing people's minds, and before we started, I was talking about DonJoy being the brace that everybody, you know, has to use for their knee. What are some of the things that you've done to work on changing people's minds towards, you know, Bledsoe or some of the other braces that you guys carry there?
Well, the thing for me personally, I get to use the fact that I know what I'm using the product for. A lot of reps come into your office and they know what the paperwork says because that's what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have applied the braces. I probably put on more DonJoy braces than I put on my own. So in knowing the different things that are out there, knowing why you're putting the product on a patient, knowing what the patient, what you're trying to prevent, I can give you a brace that would be the optimal thing for that patient based on what it is I know to be the deal. Those are things that I've done. When I go in to sell to someone, I tell people all the time, I have yet to sell a product. I've never sold a product to anybody. I just go in and tell you the benefits of one versus the other based on my medical background. Because, like I said, I don't know how to sell people. And I don't. I just, you know, I walk in and I say, okay, doc, this is what I have. This is what this does. You're currently, the issue that you're having with the one that you're using is doing this. And 9 times out of 10, you say, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's doing. Well, and I know that because I've used it. So, when I'm saying, hey, this product is better because this, then that is a real reason, because I can tell you from experience that the product is better because I've used it. And like you said before about the ankle braces versus a tape or whatever, I found that a lot of trainers use ankle braces because of the taping. Like you said, if someone falls or they get hurt or they do get hurt in the tape, trying to get that tape off is one of the issues. But it also is an issue. After a few minutes, the tape's wet and it's loose. And I'm telling you from experience on that, because I played college football. you know, and I got my ankles taped, and I would go in at halftime and get them retaped because the tape was loose halftime. So I would come in there, get them retaped or whatever, and, you know, you're standing there, and the coach is like, trying to talk to everybody, and you're getting taped up, you know. But with ankle braces, they are a little bit restricting, but you can take them on and off a little quicker, get them on and off, do what you need to do, done deal. And then this thing here, like I said, if it works, and that's why I'm asking for football players, not basketball, because I'm not a basketball player, but
right.
I want to know how this thing reacts to someone actually hitting you in your leg and your ankle roll, because that's a lot of times what happens. You know, guy running, another guy hits him in his ankle rolls. So that's what I want to know. How does this thing react to that?
That's kind of one of the comments one of my coaches made. I'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, you said firsthand experience. I've actually never had my ankles taped to do anything. I've had them taped because my kids need to practice or my kids need a test, but I've never worn ankle tape ever for like any, even walking around. So maybe that's something I should do. And then
I have a funny story on that, and I'll make it quick. But when I was in high school playing football, our football coach brought in a student trainer from his former college, and I had rolled my ankle, got it taped. It was the coolest thing. It was just the most perfect ankle tape. And that is actually what triggered me to look into sports medicine. It's the weirdest thing. I started in criminal justice for a year, but the first time I wore an ankle, I truly got my ankle taped by at the time a professional, because he was a college student athletic trainer, so to a high schooler student, and that is actually what triggered me to go into sports medicine, because I thought that is the coolest thing ever. And, you know, I was taping ankles. That's not solving the world's problems. I just think the coolest thing is to be able to tape an ankle like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I know it's off on a tangent, but it's a little anecdote there. But, what Maury said is exactly right. It's just, if you can, the benefits of ankle bracing, you could argue it, but from an athletic training side, not having to tape 17 people, or 25 people, or if you know, you've had the coach maybe demand, I want all my offensive linemen taped.
Yes.
Well, who's paying for that and everything else? And so if you can slap something on, and Chris, this I'm also kind of hinting back at what Maury said, is have you looked at, you know, obviously in a basketball court, it's a stable surface and everything. Does this thing require readjustment? Does the athlete know when it needs to be adjusted? Do they tighten it up, or is it been shown to be really stable throughout the activity, or what have you found on that?
Yeah, good question. And that was one of the feedback from our customers, and that's why we've got, you'll notice on the inside of the new ankle roll guard there, it's got some silicone patches that are a little bit grippy, right? So it'll grip more to the shoe, provide some more stability and sturdiness during an athletic event. So you won't get a lot of slippage on there, because you want that cushion to be right below the ATFL and as low to the ground as possible and to stay there, because as soon as you start to invert, you want that cushion to hit the ground and start that protection enablement. So it was good feedback. You know, the football comment, I greatly want to get into a football player, into a game, and test that, you know, being tackled. You know, I played football too, and I sprained my ankles several times getting hit really hard. And it happens, right? But I'd love to test that. This new version will work better in football, I'll tell you that, because the prior version was all Velcro, the cushion Velcroed on and off, and that could easily pop off. And that was one of the improvements we made on this version.
All right, so I was asking about this whenever I was asking Maurice about the orthopedic technician. Say it again.
Technologist.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Because when I was watching the little video of the biofeedback, now the green one, the video that's on your website, the green one is the one that has the ankle roll guard, correct? Do you remember?
Yes.
All right, so when I'm watching that, it looks to me like there's more movement in the green leg than the red leg. And so when I was telling my students, oh, yeah, the green one is the one that doesn't have the guard, because it looks to me like it moves more. Can you explain how that works? And, I mean, why am I getting confused there?
Well, so I'm looking at it now. I just pulled it up. So we had two shots. The green one, there was two shots, one without the ankle roll guard and one with the ankle roll guard. Both were green. The left was just my left leg. So if you look at it. So one showed the, and the one on the far right is the lateral malleolus, right? So that's why it starts out kind of off to the side a little bit. But you can clearly see without the ankle roll guard, it goes all the way to the floor, and with the ankle roll guard, there's a definite stoppage there. So I'm not sure which one you're looking at, Jeremy, but they're both green. Just one was without, and one was with the ankle roll guard.
I understand what he's saying, because when I looked at it yesterday before I came here to look at it, at first glance, it did look like it went farther. But if you look at it, and you look at the triangle on the top there, I mean, for the ankle, mm-hmm. shows the top, it does show how it stops it with the roll guard on versus not. But you got to really look at it.
Okay, yeah. That's the thing I didn't understand. And there's no audio along with the video, and so there's nothing like explaining. And I don't look at those types of studies all the time, so I'll go back and look at it now with a little bit of understanding. So, all right. So Maurice, we'll get to my coach's comment later. But Maurice, what is your best ankle brace, or what is the one that you don't sell but you inform patients or doctors of?
The brace that I most sell to colleges and teams or whatever is the Raptor from Bledsoe. And the reason that brace is good is the Raptor Speed. Is it has two pull tabs to lace the brace up. It also has the figure eight strapping, kind of like the taping, just like the taping would have. But the one big plus that it has is there's a silicone liner in the heel of it. So when your foot gets sweaty, which it will, that your heel doesn't slide around in the ankle brace itself. That to me, that and the fact that it speed laces are the two big things that work for me. And right. Like I said, a lot of people love that because it does that thing.
So that, are you looking at it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the blood, so it's W R A and not Raptor like the dinosaur.
No.
So that's why I couldn't find it for a second there. Yeah. That's typically, like, if we recommend an ankle brace for a student, that's the one, the McDavid one, because, you know, it's what you can find at Academy.
Right. Which are not the same, by the way.
Okay. Well, again, this is the appearance of the one that we would recommend because it has the heel lock straps and those kind of things. And so, you know, talk about your ankle brace and then your thoughts on the ankle guard. And you know, would you, you don't have firsthand experience with the ankle roll guard wearing it and putting on patients, but just kind of compare your go-to product with Chris's product.
Well, again, the thing that I could say different about the two products right now is I know I can put this one on a football player, the Raptor. I don't know if I can put this one on a football player yet because we haven't done that. The Raptor will stop several different ankle sprains, and this one will stop the lateral ankle sprain. So what I'm trying to figure out is, okay, if we can try this on more people, get it on more people, see if we can stop more things, then it definitely. And I definitely can see this for basketball players and volleyball players. But like I said, you know, I am a football player,
right?
So and right, wrong, or indifferent, my mind always goes to football players first, and with this brace here, I'm thinking about football players and can a football player wear this brace?
Well, and a very common injury in football, the mechanism is they plant and they twist.
Yeah.
Would it help prevent that also?
What, this brace here?
The Raptor?
The one that Raptor
uses. Yes, ma'am. It does. It does. Basically, the way the strapping comes across the top and then it comes underneath the foot and locks it on the either side, it will help with that front roller. Again, like I said, this product I like because it's very light, and like Doc said, there's no requirement for you to take off anything. If the guy gets hurt, you just, you know, take this thing off of him, he's out of it. You know, there's no more additional pain. There's no moving him around causing more problems. You know, it could be a great product for him. Like I said, I just want to see, it in action, because when I tell people that when I say things to people, that regardless of what the name is of the brace that I sell, it's Maurice Hawkins. Because they'll have, period. I don't care what, you know, that's what they see. I don't care what I get out there on someone. Hey, Maurice, you're the guy that gave me this crap, you know, or you're the guy who gave me the grip. I mean, is that not it, Doc? That's it, right?
That's exactly right.
That's
I mean, that's good to hear that you want the whole spectrum of information, not just, well, you know, it was a great sales pitch, so I like it. You know, and you don't make a commission necessarily based on selling the higher priced one, you want to sell what's best for that.
Oh, well,
so that's good to hear.
Yeah, for sure. Because here's the deal. Again, I was an athlete. I know what it takes for you to go out there and beat your body up every day for something you love. And for somebody to tell you, hey, you can't do this because you were hurt doing the thing you love, you know, even if it's for a game or two, because, you know, 4 years goes really fast. you know, you're a college athlete or a high school athlete, 4 years is fast. And you say, okay, you only have 10 games or you got 20 games. Yeah, that's a quick season, you know, but you practice daily for a year for that thing. And then you can't go out because the thing you wore failed. You know, you want to minimize those things. Hey, if there was something catastrophic and the guy just couldn't help it, it was going to happen no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, then that's part of the game. But if you're out there and you had a piece of crap and, you know, you had an ACE wrap on your ankle instead, you know, yeah. instead of, you know, some good tape or some, you know, this brace or any other brace, I don't want to put my name to that.
So I do have a question on that, kind of what you're hinting at. What, in your experience as a professional, what do you see in terms of athletes self-applying braces? Have you ever checked somebody after, you know, you show them how to do it, and then maybe a week later you come back and they're wearing the brace and you look at it. Are they doing it correctly on average, or are athletes putting these on correctly? Or are you finding that they're loose, they're not really protecting because the athlete just slaps it on there without a concept of how to pull the straps correctly? Or do you see that when you do apply any kind of brace, are the athletes putting it on effectively, would you say, in your opinion?
Well, on average, I would say yes. But when we talk about, when we go a little deeper than that, on average, what I try to do is educate the coach. Because if a coach mandates that you put it on and you put it on right, the athlete is more likely to put it on. So a lot of times when I'm doing these things, I make sure the coach or the coach of offensive linemen for Texas Southern, they get braces for the offense and the defense as well. And I make sure that those coaches are in the room when I'm telling you guys how to put these braces on, so they know how the brace should look. So they see it on them. They say things to the players to say, hey, you should have this brace on this way. You should be doing it with this or that, because they know. And I think that education from them makes the athletes put the braces on a little different. I found also, which is going to be crazy to you guys, high school athletes tend to put the things on better than the college athletes.
Really?
Yeah. I found that, well, because in their mind, if I can tell them and make them believe, hey, this could help you go further in your career, farther in your career, because if you get hurt, hey, you can get hurt, you know, hey, you get hurt to that your senior year or whatever, and all the offers that you had mm-hmm. could go away, you know. Guys tend to put it on a little better, but then the guys who have already made it to that level, it's a little harder to say, okay, hey, now you want to get to the next level, these things can help you prevent you from being hurt. If the coach doesn't believe in that, or he's saying, okay, hey, well, I'm going to put them on because everybody else is putting them on. But for the most part, when a coach says, yes, I want these braces to be on my athlete, he believes in the brace himself, and that itself is a great help. But if you don't have if the coach is not really in that, he's like, hey, go talk to Doc, and Doc can get you set up and kind of move on, I find it a little harder, and you got to go back a few more times for those guys to make sure they're putting the products on right.
And the coach has a pretty vested interest in making sure the brace is on.
His job, right?
Yeah.
His job, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Chris, I have a question. Have you looked at applying this over a shoe that has a brace? Is there an increase in effectiveness? Have you found that there's no change, you know, for athletes that may want to double up, or a coach that says, I want everything possible on these kids? Have you looked at that? I know you said you did range of motion. Or is it just too bulky by the time you get an ankle brace or something under the shoe? Or have you done any experiments with that?
Not a lot with customers. I have personally, because I wanted to, and I've seen that it works, that, you know, you can supplement the ankle brace with the ankle roll guard, and you've got, like you said, double protection almost, because you've got the restriction of the brace, particularly after an injury, right? You want that compression and limited movement, but the ankle roll guard, it's kind of like the secondary stoppage for any additional inversion. So I think you could use it as a complementary, especially if you've got a severe ankle sprain. I think you could conceivably use both.
All right, so I'm going to read my coach's comments, and then I'll ask something else. So I gave this, after you sent it to me, I gave it to one of our basketball coaches, and he wore it, and then he also put it on one of his athletes, and he has a former player that's playing in European League and called and talked to him about it, and he said he had worn it. But these were his thoughts. I'm going to read it, so if I stumble here, that's why. It says, as is the case with most ankle sprains, the roll, or inversion, is the primary cause of the injury. What the ARG, or ankle roll guard, works to do is to prevent the ankle from making that movement. From wearing the ARG and testing it with a few players, I found a few interesting observations I feel inclined to share. The marketing for ARG is clearly focused on prevention. With that being said, I do not think it is possible to ever truly prevent an injury. However, what I do see with this product in certain situations is the ability to reduce the severity of the injury. If I am a player or have a player jumping straight into the air vertically and I land on the ankle rolls out, this could definitely be beneficial to helping limit the amount of force that my ankle absorbs, thus creating less tension and hopefully reducing the severity of the injury. However, what I have noticed with this product is this. When I am making a hard cut or working on defense or etc., the angle of my leg is the most common, I'm not sure if he said meant predicator or predictor, in regards to potential sprain. If I have a hard cut or plant off my outside leg, the ankle has the ability to roll without the bottom of my shoe leaving the ground. Therefore, in this scenario, the ankle roll guard does not really add any support to help prevent that type of injury. I definitely see benefits from wearing this product. However, I would like to see the marketing altered a bit to truly reflect what the product does. Plus, I would build up the fact that unlike tape or braces, this product does not weaken the ankle over time. It gives the ankle the ability to be strong on its own. All right, so initial reactions. I know you've already seen that, but Chris, initial reactions to that?
Well, yeah, I love that last comment because that is the one of the core functions and benefits is that you keep that ankle strength. You can prevent an inversion, but still keep that mobility. I mean, that's one of our core selling points. I had to read twice that comment about the hard cutting and the defense because I can definitely see that. However, I think where the injury happens is when you do that hard cut, you tend to go over the sole of the shoe, right? And that's where the ankle roll guard comes into play. I don't know, and you guys probably know more than I do, on a hard cut like that, how many sprains or injuries do you actually get without rolling over the sole of the shoe, right? I think that was his point, but I don't know if there's a high percentage of injuries in that case or not.
Most of the ankle sprains I see are landing or somebody stepping on their foot.
I'd say 80%, at least 90 are exactly. Yeah, it's you either land and you land on somebody's foot or, well, I mean, that's exactly.
Yeah.
Because the weight's coming straight down. So I agree with you. It's probably, I think I'm not defending the coach, but maybe, yes, there is a possibility that you could roll your ankle. It's just practically, it's probably not very, it's rather rare, but it is an example that could exist. So
and I totally agree. You can't prevent every possible scenario, right? I mean, the ankle is dynamic. People are playing different sports. You're cutting in football, you get hit and could tweak it some weird way, right? You can't stop every scenario, but for the majority, you know, like the 80-20 rule, I think it applies here. It'll prevent 80% of the sprains out there where it's traditional inversion, right? Where you come down, particularly basketball, volleyball, where you come down and the ankle starts to roll, right?
Oh, I thought you were still talking. Sorry. I was waiting for you to finish. All right. So one of the things I was hoping to have Brett McQueen on here because he's been doing some research with some people about taping and bracing, but one of the ankle braces me and a couple of the other athletic trainers I know tend to shy away from is the air cast. When people wearing that with the air cast, because we've seen some like more fibula fractures because of it's rigid all the way up. And so at some point something has to give. So again, when I was going back to looking at the green, like I said, it looked like it moved more, but it also looks like it causes more stress on the knee. Have you looked at that, the way it works up the chain from that with this ankle roll guard?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting comment. And I think if you compare it to a brace, right, the brace is restricting, the energy's going to probably travel upward, like you're saying with the air cast. With the ankle roll guard, some of that energy is transferred into the cushion, right? So I think it's less of a chain reaction up the leg and more so down into the cushion and into that ankle roll guard. But there's a lot of testing and things that would need to be done to prove that 100%, right? I think they haven't even proven it for ankle braces. I've seen various stories one way or the other.
All right, so we just had Brad Brown, the program director, the outreach athletic trainer, director from Memorial Hermann, just sneak in on us. So he's going to be joining the conversation some here.
We just got hit big time.
Yeah, because he was with the, he said 27 years with NFL?
Yes.
So we're going to let Brad look at this a little bit, but we're looking at the ankle roll guard. And one of Maurice's big concerns is how would this work on a football player? And so Chris has done a lot of research and stuff with basketball and volleyball, you know, court sports. And so we're going to let him look at that for a second there, Chris, and then we'll see what his thoughts are and can if he can address some of Maurice's concerns there. So
the way this works is this is going to be shooting.
We're giving an in-house demonstration here.
Oh, cool.
Have you, so on cleats, you know, Chris, I know you haven't looked at it in, you said you mentioned lacrosse, and from what my experience lacrosse, I've only seen lacrosse played on artificial turf, so they didn't have cleats on. Have you looked at the strap? Does it interfere with the cleats of a traditional cleat shoe? Have you checked that yet, just specific to football?
It actually works better on a cleat. We've tried it on cleats because of, you know, some folks playing on grass. And it goes right in between the cleat perfectly. It doesn't even touch the ground.
Really?
So it actually, from the strap and the wear point of view, it's actually better worn on a cleat.
Okay. So that goes outside the shoe, right?
And that version you got is a right foot, so make sure it's going on the right. Yeah, okay.
So really what you're trying to do with that is just stop the inversion.
Exactly.
I guess my biggest concern in something like that is you're putting a block. So are you transferring the weight or transferring it someplace else by putting that block out there, stopping? So are you shifting it up the fibula, and are your chances of breaking your fibula higher with some type of a block like that at the ankle?
Well, actually, good question. We just talked about that, and that's why we gave that cushion a little bit of give. So it's somewhat stiff, but gives a little bit. It's an EVA material. So when that inversion happens and that cushion makes contact with the floor, some of that energy transfers into that cushion and not up the leg.
Okay. I mean, I think that would be my concern, is you always worry about blocking a joint too much or doing something like that. Are you transferring your enough energy up into your knee or your ankle, you know, going out of the ankle and taking it up into your knee or so on and so forth?
Yeah. And you know, and maybe Maurice knows more than I do, but I've seen studies one way saying braces cause that, and some studies the opposite. It doesn't cause energy transfer. I'm curious your guys' impression or Maurice's on any studies on that, for braces anyway.
You know, I like I said, I've seen more for a brace than against. I've seen a lot more against taping than the brace itself.
Thank you.
Than the brace itself, you know. So,
yeah.
And as far as braces go, the transfer, I believe, is a lot less if the brace isn't rigid. Yeah. Like you were saying a little bit ago, if they had a rigid brace on, then that's the transfer, I believe, is a lot more, because the brace is not a soft brace, so it's not as much transfer of force. But if a patient's using an air cast and is up there, fibula or up the leg like that, then I can see how the force will be transferred into that hard brace at that point.
Yeah.
Chris, I have another quick question, because it goes back to Maurice's comment. You said you did some studies on this in a lab, and I'm assuming that was on a hard surface. So if the surface changes to artificial turf or to grass, I mean, it seems logical that the block would not support as well. Have you looked at that on different surfaces at all? Is there still the same amount of support, or have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, primarily hard court. We haven't done too much on grass, but I'm under the impression, without any testing to back this, that it'll still provide that same amount of protection and cushion, even on a grass softer, landscape.
All right. So what are you planning, or what are you doing to show that? I mean, I would be willing to get some from you and put them on our guys, but I'm not a research guy. I'm not a numbers guy. I'm not a statistics guy. So really, if you were wanting to do that, I would, like I said, I would put them on my guys, but I'm not the best at keeping track of this player wore it every day and didn't have any ankle sprains, or this didn't. So what's your plan to convince somebody like Maurice to pedal this, or somebody like me to put it on my team? How are you moving forward with that?
Well, my strategy right now is really, like I said, is focusing on physical therapists and podiatrists and athletic trainers, and getting them, like you said, getting it out there to some folks who've injured their ankle or want to prevent ankle sprains, and just getting their feedback. Particularly, I've had a lot of podiatrists feedback about what they feel will protect or not protect, and that it's all been positive for the ankle roll guard. I'll tell you that. But I do want to try, Maurice brought up a great point with football. We need to get it out there more on players on a grass surface, an artificial turf surface, and see how it reacts and get their feedback on a constant basis, the practicing every day and in game situations. So, if you have some players that can do that, I can get you some more ankle roll guards and we can try it out. The only way to do it is get people using it, right? And get their feedback.
You're up there with the boys at Boise State. You definitely need to try it on them. Yeah, they've got the feel for it. They definitely got the feel for it.
It's hard.
The duck, isn't that the duck killing field? The one that all the ducks magically supposedly are supposed to be diving into and dying on the field. Yeah, the urban legend.
That's the legend, yes.
Okay, right. And going back to application, if an athlete were to apply the brace incorrectly, maybe perhaps the cushion above the malleola, lateral malleolus, or directly on it, or maybe too low, could that have adverse effects on the ankle? Have you done any research on that?
Well, the only adverse effect is, if it's too high up, then you're not going to get the same benefit. I wouldn't say any adverse effect other than not providing the maximum protection for the ankle that, if it's properly put on, would provide, right? So I think that was your question. Is there any adverse effects, right, other than just...
And let's say for whatever reason, you're dealing with athletes, they lose the cushion or something. Can they buy that individually, or is it only sold as a unit, like there was a replacement cushion?
It's only sold as a unit. The only replacement piece is the strap that goes under the sole. As I mentioned, we're going to provide extras for that because that's the one wear item that happens. If the pad happens to come off, we would just replace the entire unit.
Because that pad is supposed to be static, correct? That pad is supposed to be stable. It's not supposed to come off or not move up and down.
Exactly. Okay.
Or the glue, or whatever's holding it down. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had a issue with the glue on these early review units that you guys are viewing. We rectified the glue issue. It was a manufacturing problem in China, and that goes back to our point about some of the difficulties starting a business and working with China manufacturer. So we've rectified that, but that pad is supposed to be glued on and not come off at all. So the version you have, we've rectified it, and I can send you, I told Jeremy, I can send you more units if you need them that have been fixed.
Yeah, this is Brad. I guess I'm a little leery about this, in the sense of, especially where I come from, you're putting an external force into that shoe or whatnot. I mean, Are you not better off to just put them in a wider shoe base if you've got somebody that's got an ankle? I mean, you're putting an external force in there, you know, and you say, well, it blocks. Well, what if it goes too far? In other words, what if a guy's got so much momentum going? You know, now you're really, I mean, I really worry about things like the shift in your weight. You know, you say, well, the block's going to stop your ankle. Well, yeah, does that kick you up into your knee again, though? I mean, that's, I guess that's my biggest concern about something like this. And I think, you know, I think seriously, you got to get some studies on it and see what, I mean, there's, anytime you throw an external force in there, you're adding a lot of dynamics to the body and see what happens. And put some force plates on it, so maybe put them on a step plate or something, and see kind of how they react to stuff like that. Because, you know, it's hard to duplicate these, but boy, you hate to have a guy running down the field as fast as he can and step in a hole and, you know, shift out his knee or something because his ankle.
Well, yeah, Brad, it's a great point. All I can tell you is that, you know, the ankle roll guard is basically letting the ankle do its normal function, right? And when it invokes the cushion to the ground, like I said, the energy is transferring more into that cushion than up the leg. Where if you compare it to a brace where you're constricting that ankle and there's nowhere for that ankle to go, that's where I think the energy transfers up, like Maurice was saying, on a stiff, air cast, rigid ankle brace. I mean, just logically, the energy's got to go somewhere, right? And if you're stopping the ankle from its natural motion, it's probably going to travel up, right? With the ankle roll guard, we're actually letting the ankle go a little bit, invoke the cushion onto the ground and transfer that energy. So I think it's going to be actually better for the knee, than worse.
Yeah, I think you just have to see some studies on it to see what. See how that works. I mean, it's just, I always worry about outside sources or outside, you know, things when you add them into the braces and so on. And I'm not arguing the, you know, the ankle stuff. I mean, I think you're right about the literature. There's literature all over the place on ankle. Is taping better than a brace, and brace is better than an ankle. Is a hard brace better than a soft brace? Well, I think a lot of it, my feeling on it is a lot of it is an individual player's feel for it. And the other thing that I'll say, you know, kind of interesting, coming out of the NFL where I was, I can tell you the first thing that our players would say if I put that on a shoe is, it looks terrible. As crazy as that sounds, so much of it is cosmetic, and they're not going to wear something that looks bad. And I mean, I'd have trouble getting guys just a good brace. We would custom make braces for them. And they wouldn't even wear those because they'd say, oh, the other team's going to see that. I'm not wearing that thing. So not that that's right or wrong, but that's something you have to kind of take into consideration with these as well.
Yeah, I talked earlier, it's kind of like the ankle or the knee braces, right? I'm sure at some point somebody said, God, this thing's obnoxious and ugly, and I'm not going to wear that. But now you see it all over the all football players and especially linemen wearing them, right? I think it's acceptance. It's people wearing it. And if one guy wears it, oh, I see, you know, it's not that bad. I'm going to wear it. And then it catches on, right? So it is all a lot about perception.
Yeah. Would this be a uniform issue in the NFL over the shoe?
As long as it doesn't have writing on it.
The writing's the big, the logo.
Well, yeah, you couldn't have a logo on it.
Couldn't put your zip code on the outside. And
you couldn't have it. His team name couldn't be on it unless he buys the rights into the league. Yeah.
Talk to Jerry Jones. Jerry let you put whatever on it as long as you pay him enough.
But we could put that, like I said, we could put the team logo pad printed across that front strap for any team. So that's something that's customizable.
Just the biggest thing in the NFL is just you can't have any kind of a name logo on it as far as your company name or anything like that. Couldn't be on it unless you've been graced by the NFL offices. Paid your money to do that, Grace.
All right, anybody? Well, you've had a lot of good questions. Anything? Can y'all hear me? Is my mic on? Anybody got anything else?
Well, he survived the gauntlet here.
Right.
I guess the big thing is, what does the evidence show?
All right, so that chair was lower than I thought.
Don't roll your ankle.
Sorry, I got the ankle roll guard on. All right, so Chris, one thing I kind of do want to know is, hey, I would be willing to put these on my guys, but like I said, I'm not great with keeping track of those stats. So do you have a plan, something written up saying, hey, if you were to be our test group, then this is what we would need from you. These are the standards so that you have the control and this kind of thing. Do you have anything like that worked up already?
I don't, but I can definitely work that up if you want to participate and do that.
So if not me, then maybe somebody else that listens to this a little bit later or whatever. So, you know, that's something that they could possibly do with their team, especially, you know, there's a lot of athletic trainers in your area, and then you could actually be a part of that going out to the field and, you know, promoting it there. But, yeah, I would say work on something like that and then send it to me, and I'll see if it's something we can do here, because, you know, we only have about 35 kids on our varsity football team. We're going to go play Dawson High School or Pearland High School, where they have about 90 kids on their varsity football team.
So we can't have about 20 after the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to have about 20 when you play Pearland.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things, we can't afford to lose kids. So if there's a way we can, you know, keep them healthier, whether it's with the, you know, the Raptor ankle brace that goes inside the shoe or the ankle roll guard that goes outside the shoe, then hey, that's my job, is injury prevention. And like we were talking last week or so about with Brett McQueen, that's the part that we most often overlook, because we're always treating rather than preventing. So, I mean, if you can, work something up, and then we'll see where we can go from there. And since it's not the NFL, you don't have to worry about taking your logo off yet.
Well, our production units, we're leaving off the logo, because my intent is to have that customized. So if teams say, oh, I'd like my logo on it, or a physical therapist says, I want to put my company name on it, we're leaving that open for people to do that.
Sweet. Sounds good. Anybody, any final thoughts, questions, comments, concerns? No? All right, so I'll go ahead and close out here. GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, is the one that sponsors the CEUs. If you're listening to the live webinar, which right now I don't know if anybody is, because it doesn't show that, but it doesn't always show me. So again, thanks, GHATS. And then we got a surprise by Mr. Brad Brown from Memorial Hermann. They gave us the beautiful backdrop there. Maurice kind of came in last minute. I think I emailed them on Monday, and then they said, yeah, we'll jump in and be panelists. And I think it was a really good addition to have you come in, Maurice. So I'm real thankful that you're willing and able to come in, even amidst your big business merger thing you got going on. So if you want to check out our website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, where you can watch live almost every single Wednesday, and you can join in the conversation on Twitter, is at PHS Sportsmed, or using hashtag TheSMB. Google Plus is Sports Medicine Broadcast, facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. So you can subscribe on iTunes. You can join the email list there on MailChimp, via MailChimp on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Leave comments and do whatever else you want so you can interact with us. If you have an idea for a topic, something you want to hear covered, or an opposing opinion to what we've talked about on any one of these shows, you can let me know there. So for Jeremy,
Mark Knobloch,
Nicole Kasha,
Maurice Hawkins,
Brad Brown,
that's a wrap.